Everybody, welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. We are live here from the Kentucky Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Greater Research Triangle Park. Today's episode, by the way, we're bringing back Tony Fink.
Thank you for having me again,
Jay. Yeah, no, you're welcome. It's great to have you back. He's the seller and buyer's expert with Linda Craft Team Realtors here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and part of the Greater Research Triangle Park as well. One of my favorite shows, and it seems to be one of the favorite shows of many people, was Mythbusters. And I really enjoyed that show on the Discovery Channel. It went on for a number of years, and it was really quite interesting because with those things that we thought we knew or we took for granted that we knew, but at the end of the day, they would either prove them or they would disprove the myths. And it was always more fun to disprove the myths than it was actually to prove them outright, right? Even though it was useful information. Well, today's show, whether you're a seller or you're a buyer, we have three myths, and we're calling it we're going to bust three myths for sellers, three myths for buyers. And Tony's going to help us navigate those myths, and he's going to bust them, or maybe he'll confirm them. We'll see. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jay.
So we've got three seller myths, three buyer myths.
So I love the intro, and hopefully we'll drop some knowledge bombs.
Right.
Or as you said, confirm. Validate,
yeah,
or negate.
Yeah, right. I mean, the whole point of that show was was really pure curiosity, right? They didn't really know going into it what was going to happen for sure, and they either approved or disproved it. And I think this is true of real estate right now, where if you're a seller, right? You've got some myths.
Yeah, let's do the top three.
Let's top three. So number three for seller myths.
Yeah. So Jay, we're going to go in order of priority.
Okay.
From least to most.
Okay.
But they're all important. And again, this is just perspective.
Sure.
So the biggest myth with sellers is that in a low inventory market, like we are in many major MSAs or metropolitan areas, including the Research Triangle, the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area, we have an undersupply, which means we have more buyers than homes to be bought. So, hey, I'm a seller. Right. I'm in the catbird seat.
Right.
I can ask whatever I want to ask.
Okay.
I don't really have to make the house look good. I'll just put it on the market and everything will work out.
I'm just as is.
Yeah.
And I can ask whatever I want.
It means I have leverage, right?
All right. Is that a myth?
It's a huge myth.
Oh, we're going to bust it. Okay.
We're going to bust it.
Okay.
Why? Why do you think it's a myth, Jay?
I think it's a myth because you have a number of buyers and they want a great home. And so if that doesn't look well, or if it doesn't present itself well, or if the price is too high, they're skeptical anyway, because they got high, the mortgage rates are up. They don't want to pay for something that they feel might be a problem later on down the road.
You're absolutely on point. So we live in the information
society. By the way, that's rare with you.
That you're on point.
That I actually nail something.
If the audience doesn't know, Jay and I have known each other for a long time and respect each other tremendously. Usually have differing opinions.
Right. That's awesome. Good for me. Okay.
So when you think about leverage, buyers are incredibly informed. Mm-hmm. And when they're working with a competent real estate agent as their buyer's agent, they're even more informed. Everybody can open up Zillow. Everybody can open up Realtor.com.
Right.
They can see price trends. So if you're a seller and you're a aspirational seller, which is a polite way of saying crazy, and you set a price that's unrealistic,
right?
You might get some showings, but probably not. But I'm going to tell you, based on experience, you're not going to get offers.
Right.
Okay. And then what happens is, oh, well, no big deal, Tony. I know you said the house should be listed at $500,000 to $550,000, but let's list it at $700,000. And if I'm wrong, we'll just reduce the price. Well, in a market like this, which is a strong seller's market, the average days on market in Raleigh is 5. Okay. I mean, excuse me, median days, average is 20.
Okay.
So if a house is on the market for 30 days, what do you think happens with the buyers, Jay?
Well, skepticism.
I'll go see that one next week. This one just came out. I don't want to miss this one.
Yeah, that's a, there's a cynicism, skepticism mm-hmm. in the whole thing, right? Yeah.
And that is one of the worst things for a seller. And one of the things that I do when I'm helping people achieve their goals in selling a home is understanding what their motivations are.
Right.
If you're putting the house out for sport,
right.
which is make me move,
right.
you're underestimating the amount of time and effort and the intrusion into your home that comes with showings. So selling a house is work for sure for the sellers. Mm-hmm. So you want to be realistic. So that's why I say leverage or name my price or let me just play with the market and see how much I can get really will do you a disservice. So that is the first myth.
Okay. Well, so
here's, and we can dive into it more.
Well, I just want to make the statement, and that is because it's something I remember, you know, real estate from years ago. And that is, you know, the worst question that as a seller that you ever want somebody to say is, what's wrong with the house? Mm-hmm. Why didn't it sell? Why isn't it selling? Right.
Yep.
And you know, you can go, well, it was priced too high or everything else. But in this market, if somebody asks you, why didn't that sell with such a low inventory? That's actually a serious question.
Well, it is. And it's an incredibly common question. Mm. So I'm fortunate to do a fair amount of transactions on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. And each transaction actually is someone's objective. So I don't view things as transactions. But almost a common reaction is, why hasn't that house sold? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that doesn't matter if it's a 65-year-old person, mm-hmm. a 25-year-old person, mm-hmm. a 30-year-old couple. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's a universal reaction
yep.
of, well, the house looks really good. Why is it still on the market? And yeah. then the psychology shifts mm-hmm. because the home purchase for a buyer is highly emotional. Mm. They can be as logical as you want to be, highly emotional. Mm. So they can get turned off pretty quick. And that subconscious fear sneaks in of there must be something wrong.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm good. We busted myths, the first myth out of the blocks, busston.
And we'll give you a solution to the myth. Okay. The solution is figure out what the range, there is no perfect price for any home. There's right. a range. It should be identifiable.
Right.
And then leave a little bit of perception of value on the table for a buyer. Mm. So, and I'm making these numbers up. Sure. If you think that if your target sales price is 525, there's a lot of reasons why you should list it at 500 if the identified price range is 475 to 525. Okay. And that sounds like a big range and it is in absolute dollars, but when you look at it on a percentage basis, it isn't. The reason for that is in an undersupplied market, in a seller's market, if you leave a little value, the buyers are going to reward you and give you that value back. If you overprice it and try and get more value than the market will permit, you're going to get less.
Got it. Cool. I love that. No, that's good. That's good. That's great information right there. Okay. Number two
kind of plays into the same psychology. And again, we're talking about seller myths.
Seller myth, yeah.
And these are myths. I work with buyers, sellers. I help people build homes as well, all different price ranges. A common myth among sellers is, well, once I have a contract, I'm not negotiating. That's it. Contract's a contract and we're done.
Okay, hold on here. I mean, of course, I know what contracts are, but and contracts aren't until they're signed, sealed, delivered, right?
Right. Yeah. But let's say you and I go look at a house. You want to put an offer in. I write the contract up. We put the offer in, and it gets accepted.
Okay.
Now, a common seller myth is, well, I'm done. I'll see you at the closing table, and you
see where you're going.
You give me my money.
Okay.
That actually isn't the end game.
Okay.
Real estate is a full contact sport is the way I phrase it. And there's always negotiation that goes on in real estate between buyers and sellers.
Right.
So what you want to do is a contract on the home is not your end game. And in a lot of states, it is less valuable to have a contract than it is in North Carolina. Because in North Carolina, we have this funky concept called due diligence fee. But that's a different podcast and we can go into that another time. But essentially, if your motivation is to sell your home and you've gone through the time and effort, it isn't a sale until it closes. So buyers and sellers have got to work with each other through the end of the equation. Okay. And again, that's where a skilled agent on either side of the transaction can help the consumer, be it the seller in this case, understand where the give and the take is. And also in any contract negotiation, there's always leverage. One side might have leverage on this point, another side may have leverage on that point. Really good agents will help both sides come to a compromise that achieves the final goal.
So really, when we're talking negotiation here, it's not just negotiation of the price that goes on here. We got negotiating repair, home repairs. We've got tons of negotiations. It just doesn't end there with I've negotiated the price. So busted.
I would call it busted.
Okay. So busted. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good.
I hope the audience agrees, but if you know, leave us some comments or subscribe or hit the chime button or whatever it is. Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we'd love that. Yeah.
So you want to go with the biggest myth, Jay?
Okay, so let's go myth number one. What is the myth number one, the biggest myth?
All agents are the same, Jay.
Well, come on, Tony. I mean, they all went to real estate school. They all are part of some other entity known as a brokerage. What's really the difference, Tony?
I mean, all I do is open the lockbox and let you in the house, right?
I mean, every agent does that, don't they? Okay, so I don't know. Is there a difference?
There's a huge difference.
Oh, okay.
And I actually, you know, I'm an older guy. I'm 57. I've been in real estate 35 plus years.
Right.
So I've got a lot of skill and experience under my belt, but a real estate agent is just not a pretty face with the lockbox code. Okay.
And by the way, that could certainly be true of us.
Here. Yes. We have faces for radio.
Yeah.
Or podcasts. So when I consult with folks, because what's really interesting in the business is most people know 3 to 4 agents.
Right.
Oh, my brother's, sister's, cousin's, uncle's, third aunt is an agent. Right. Well, an agent is kind of like hiring a surgeon if you need to have major surgery, right? A hip replacement, brain surgery, whatever. You really want to meet with them and understand their background, understand how they communicate, understand their capacity, understand their knowledge, understand their experience, understand their accessibility to you, and make sure it's a good fit for you, because it's high stakes poker,
right?
Probably a bad choice of words, but buying or selling a house, getting into a contract is high stakes.
Yeah.
And you really want someone that you have trust in, and you need to develop that trust. And a really good agent will help you develop that trust quickly because, you know, real estate sort of starts and stops, but, you really need the process of interviewing somebody and understanding. And I can delve into that some more.
Well, I'm just thinking about, I had a knee replacement. Right. About 9 years ago and maybe 10 now. And maybe it's even longer than that. I don't remember now. But anyway, I remember that the surgeon that I used, right? Because I had a lot of people recommend a bunch of different surgeons. And the surgeon that I went with knew my goals after surgery. Right.
Key piece there.
Because he knew that I did not want to stop doing my athletic things. That whereas some sort of said, yeah, well, you may want to back off on that. He never said that to me. In fact, he said, no, you know what? We're going to do this and it's going to be kind of up to you, but you can do this and you can still do nearly everything that you ever did before. You know, you're going to have to work at it, but it's going to happen. That, and then that made me feel tremendously more comfortable to work with him. And so when he did my knee replacement surgery and I continued to do the things that I do, you know, and I, cause I told him I was going to lift heavy. I was going to do all those things. He knew my goals. He knew what I wanted to get. And he assured me and made me feel comfortable enough. And by the way, everything worked out exactly the way he said it would.
Awesome.
Right. Now let's move that forward to a good agent. Right. It's the same. This is the largest personal purchase you're probably going to make in your life.
Correct.
In a home. So don't you want to work with someone who makes sure that they understand your goals, understands your future?
And the answer is yes for the audience.
Right.
And understanding is is having the awareness as the agent to even ask those questions.
Right.
Like, what is your motivations for buying? Let's go through your motivations, or what are your motivations for selling?
Right.
Let's go through your motivations and understand.
Right.
And then, so yeah, that is super critical. The experience level, the knowledge base.
Huge deal.
Yeah. And for the audience, I'm sure everybody listening here, you know, had a job at some point, has a career at this point, whatever your situations may have been on a sports team in college or high school, right? Not all athletes are created the same.
Nope.
But here's the other hard part. I'm part of a team. We have 14 agents. Well, not all personalities are well suited to work with each other.
Which, great point, because the surgeon that I used, who's now retired, played NFL football.
Amazing.
Right? Played NFL football. And so that his personality matched mine because he knew what I wanted to accomplish, you know, working out and doing those things. And that personality, whereas the other surgeons I interviewed didn't have the same person. I didn't jive with their personality very well. That's a really great point.
And I would probably venture to guess, in watching this podcast, you probably figured out Jay is very intellectual, but I would venture to guess your surgeon was as well and had very high situational awareness.
Oh yeah.
You know, I have a very distinct personality, but my job requires me to somewhat be a chameleon. So part of what I do when I'm working with sellers is really try and understand them, not project onto them.
Right.
Okay. It's not about, well, let's get it listed. It's not about let's get this or let's get that. It's about understanding how they're going to react.
Right.
And an older couple selling their house for the first time in 30 years are going to have a different set of dynamics than a millennial client who bought the house 3 years ago, doesn't have any emotional attachment to it. It's $200,000 in the positive and wants to cash in.
Yeah.
Right. So a really good agent should do what your surgeon did, which is not yes you to death,
no,
but ask you important questions so that you feel comfortable with them. Mm. Because also if you meet with 3, 4, 5 agents, you're going to drive yourself crazy too.
Right.
So we should jump into buyers.
Cause yeah, we've got about 7 minutes here. So let's just talk about buyers. Okay. So myth number one, by the way, busted. Is that busted? Yeah. They're not all the same.
No.
So it's busted. Okay.
No, yeah, we're going to bust that one.
Okay. So buyer myth number three is?
Time is on my side.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I can wait. I can see it tomorrow.
Okay. Go ahead.
It might be better.
Bust this one because I know it's busted.
Well, time in real estate is rarely on your side. Okay. And the reason for that is you have to be ready to make a decision as a buyer.
Right.
So before you decide to go look at houses or drive yourself crazy on websites, make sure you're mentally prepared and financially prepared and have a perspective on your future for the next 36 months to understand, does buying make sense for you? And in most instances, buying does make sense for you. When you decide to buy, time is not your friend. Right. And the reason for that simplistically is things change.
Right.
Long-term real estate usually goes up in value.
Right.
Okay. In high demand markets or in stable markets, like most of the country, there are certainly pockets with exodus of population, but in, you know, most areas where populations are stable or growing, time is not on your side and real estate will tend to go up. And just using Raleigh as an example, in the last 5 years, the median home price in Raleigh went up $150,000.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should I have waited 5 years? I don't know. Are you? I don't think so.
Did your income go up by more than $150,000?
No, and the average sold price is even crazier. It's up $214,000.
Yeah.
Ooh, so you might say, wait a minute. Well, then I should wait. Tony, you're talking...
Right.
You're misquoting yourself. I should wait. Things are expensive. They're not. You have to understand demographic flows. Mm. You have to understand income flows. You have to understand supply and demand. So myth number one for buyers is when I'm ready, time is not on my side.
Okay. Busted.
And then the last thing I'll share on that is there are so many things that happen in the world that are outside the control of us as buyers and sellers, us as agents, you as somebody looking for a home.
Right.
Global pandemics, terrorist attacks,
right.
Fed rate hikes,
right.
Global wars. Like, who knows what can happen?
Right.
It's good to have a sense of stability.
Yep. Got it. Okay.
All right.
Myth
number two, and we're rifling along on these. So myth number two, sorry, I flipped the wrong page, Jay.
That's okay. That's right. That's okay. We have a good sense of humor on the show, so we're good. It's funny to actually see you flip through pages.
Yes. Well, I want to make sure I get the facts right.
And for those who are listening at home, they don't see you flipping pages, so it's all good.
Well, good point. Yeah. That's me flipping pages. All right. So, Jay.
We have our own sound man.
Would you agree or disagree that buying a home is a lifetime commitment?
Is a lifetime commitment? I would disagree that it's a lifetime commitment.
You would bust that myth. Many folks look at buying a home and think of it as a lifetime commitment.
Yeah.
I'm stuck.
Oh.
I bought this thing. When I'm a renter, I can move in 12 months.
Right. Okay. So you're going here. Okay.
So real estate is not a lifetime commitment.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to use my own example, which is not to be replicated. It's not advisable. So in my 30 plus years of home ownership, I've owned 13 and I've sold 10.
Right.
Okay. So when I look at statistics and I looked at a report that was published by Redfin using the most recent information, the average home ownership in 2022, it's double digits. What do you think it is?
11%.
You're close. 12.3 years.
Okay.
Okay. It peaked in 2020 at 13.4 years.
Really? That's interesting. Because, you know, I remember for years used to say that the average person moved every 4.2 years.
And that was before 2008.
Okay.
Okay. And what happened there was the compression because of liquidity in real estate. There was so much money chasing real estate.
Got it.
And prices were going up so much.
Got it.
But my point really is for a home, you know, somebody who wants to be a home buyer, who's currently not a homeowner, is don't think of it as a lifelong commitment. If you're in a market that is growing or a market that is stable,
right.
There's going to be another buyer. And one of my colleagues has a great thought. And when he approaches homes for buyers, and I model the same behavior, is we're going to show you the home and we're going to talk to you about the home. And when you let us know that you're really interested in the home, we're also going to be talking to you about the things that you might want to think about on future sale of the home.
Got it.
Like, what could get in the way of market interest down the road?
Mm.
And if you bought a home in the last 3 years, you were pretty much in a horse race and buying whatever you could buy. Doesn't mean you made bad decisions.
Mm.
Okay. And I'll give you, you know, another example. If you buy the right home, you can make it a lifelong commitment.
Mm.
But that's a personal choice.
That's a personal
choice. That's not a situation you're stuck with.
Right. Okay.
All right,
busted.
Jay.
And then the final myth for buyers is?
It's the same one as for sellers, Jay. All real estate agents are the same, aren't they?
This is interesting. Okay, this is the surprising one to me because I'm like going, okay, we said that for sellers, we're saying it for buyers. Why is it becoming the same myth? Is it for the same reasons?
It is. And this is not a criticism of anyone who's, you know, trying to work with or has the opinion all agents are the same. It's a natural conclusion. Like you don't really understand what goes into being an effective real estate agent, the level of education on a continuing basis, the knowledge base. Like if you call me up and ask me what an easement is, or ask me if I've got organic growth in my crawl space, or ask me if a shared driveway is a consideration, or ask me the median price, or ask me this, or ask me that. I've got the resources and the intellect and the opportunity and the want to answer those questions for you. So not all real estate agents are considered, you know, are made the same. And that's no disrespect. When you work with a real estate agent, same as for sellers, you need to work with somebody that you have a confidence level in that really makes you feel like they understand what your objectives are. And that would be the right choice for you.
It's awesome. So we busted all six of them.
We did bust all six.
Five, technically.
But, well... Six, because we don't do dual agents.
Because we don't do dual agents. Yeah, this has been great, Tony. Tell people how they get a hold of you.
Sure. I'm on social media, but the easiest way to get a hold of me is 919-986-4146, Lindacraft Team Realtors. You can always send me an email, tony@lindacraft.com. It's my pleasure, my privilege, and my desire to communicate with you, talk with you, and share whatever knowledge I can.
Hey, thanks, Tony. This is awesome. Hey, folks, listen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Listen, you had a lot of choices. You chose us. We appreciate that. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Give us a like wherever you see it. You know, wherever you're listening to, whatever your favorite podcast platform is, give us a positive review. We really appreciate it. As I say to you all over the world, thank you so much, and ciao, everybody.